Welcome to Our View Podcast, where we talk about life, travel, and real estate. Join George and Lisa Hernandez each week as they share insights and parenting tips about their life as a blended family with four teens, their crazy travel and adventures, and get Lisa's pro input about real estate as she juggles it all while still managing her top producing real estate brokerage, View Properties.
Hi, welcome back to Our View. I'm Lisa Richard Hernandez.
And I'm George Hernandez.
And we are here this week at the 2021 RV Super Show in Tampa, Florida. And we have our good friends, Tracy and Chris Hawkins, with us. And they're here in their brand new Newmar that they just bought. And we're camping with the AIM group. That's the all-inclusive motorhome group. It's our first time. And so we were just going to give you like kind of a review today of what we accomplished and what we saw. We're here for 5 days?
5 days, and today's day one.
Day one. We've already put 12,000 steps on our on my Apple Watch and have only seen maybe a quarter of everything that's available.
Yeah, this is a very large show.
Yes. Probably one of the biggest in the country.
I think it is the biggest in the country.
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, a couple little information about the RV Super Show in Tampa. The public days are Wednesday, January 13th to Sunday, January 17th. They're open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. 6 p.m. every day, but Sunday they close at 5. And it's held at the Florida State Fairgrounds right across from the Hard Rock Casino, which we found out turns out to be extremely convenient. The past attendance for the show has been around 70 to 75,000 people. I don't know what it's going to be like this year for COVID. I don't feel like it was overly crowded, but it's also freezing cold here.
We've also never been here, so it's hard to gauge, but every parking lot is full.
Yeah, so freezing to us is, what is this, 55, 60?
Yeah, and it's cold.
Yeah, yeah. So say hello, Tracy and Chris, and tell us a little bit about where you're from and about your big plans from going from sticks and bricks to full-time RVers.
Well, we like to call ourselves full-time RVers, but really we are going to be full-timing in our RV, but probably not full-time traveling as we would like, because we both still work and both still have jobs. So we are going to just be basing out of our motorhome.
Gotcha. So big little plug for Tracy here. She is our lead salesperson for Hilton Head RV Lots for Sale. And they're going to be full-time in the Hilton Head Island Motor Coach Resort, which is a beautiful place in South Carolina. And if anybody wants more information on that, it'll be in our show notes, and you can contact her directly for that.
All right, let's get going.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the, like, we just, like I said, just hit the tip of the iceberg today, but we did see some luxury things. Let's start with a Tiffin. We own a 2018 Tiffin Phaeton 40IH. That's the model of our Tiffin. So it's a Class A.
XHS.
Extra high storage.
No, XSH.
Extra storage height.
Extra shit house.
That's not what it means.
Sure? Well, I got in trouble for saying that on Facebook.
I thought that's what I meant.
It's not extra shit house. It's extra storage height.
Oh.
Yes.
Just kidding. Of course, I knew that. All right, let's carry on.
All right, let's talk about the Tiffins that we saw first. Tell me what did anybody see anything that you felt like was really different or better in the new Tiffins that we saw out?
I like the European cabinetry in the Zephyr. I understand that's not available in any other model, and the Zephyr's at the top end of the Tiffin class. But I would like to see them offer those type cabinets, maybe in a Phaeton. Our last coach was a Phaeton, and we recently jumped brands to a Newmar. But I like the way it looked. I like the contemporary style. And I see a lot of other motorhome people going in that direction. But yet, Tiffin and Newmar both tend to be a little more traditional with their raised panel door.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally love the new white cabinets. And even while we were there, I heard a lot of like, oh, I don't like the white. I like the white. I don't like the white. I love the white. Tracy doesn't love the white.
I didn't love the white. One we looked at had the gray, and it was, they were real glossy. Glossy cabinets. If it had been more of a kind of a more matte finish, and I don't know my cabinetry goo.
Satin. More of a satin finish.
Yeah.
Somewhere between matte and gloss.
It seemed like it was going to be dated at some point, you know, or very quickly. It would, like, you might get tired of it real quick. Although I do believe the lighter colors make it feel more open.
I felt like that too. I felt like it, and I don't think that the white was a glossy white, and I think that's why I liked it a little bit more. But the gray to me was really like you said, like high gloss, and it felt a little almost cheesy a little bit. I hate to use that word cheesy, but
they also paired it with the real white interior, the white, not tan interior, but really polar white, and I believe that might be their color is polar white. I think that with the white makes it too much. Like there needs to be some sort of contrast or something.
Yeah.
I think the bottom line is you got to custom do it.
Yeah, yeah. Or just,
you know, because then you can pick and choose the colors and get the right combo. I personally like the gray glossy ones, but Chris brought up a point that glossy could be out of style next week.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck with gray glossy cabinets and everything for, you know, however long you own the RV. But I liked it.
The one thing I really did love about the newer Tiffin, we have the 2018, and in the kitchen behind on the backsplash, there's no window. And the newer models, I think must be the 219 and newer, have that big window, and it just brings in so much more natural light in the kitchen. I really like that.
That was nice. I like that too. But overall, to answer your question that you started with, I didn't really see any major changes. Did anybody see? I mean, you know, there's some new things, but nothing that made me go, wow, I gotta get a new one because of this. There was nothing on any of the lines.
I feel like there's only so much you can do with this space.
Very true.
I'm sure when you look at the grand scheme of things, we've only been in this very short time compared to a lot of other people. I bet they've exhausted every possibility going.
Right, but even what Lisa said before, you walk into an RV and there's six people in there and all six have a different opinion. One likes the cabinets, one doesn't like the cabinets. One likes the booth, one doesn't like the booth. So imagine if you're a manufacturer and that's all you're getting all day long. Oh, I love this. I hate it. I love this. I hate it. I love this. I hate that.
I think the biggest controversy for of interior design is whether people want the table with the chairs or the booth. And I see the pros and cons to both of them. We have the table and chairs in our Tiffin, and I just want the booth. I really want the booth.
Yeah, but I think there's more people that don't like the workspace than there is that like it.
I don't know.
Are you talking about the workspace being the table?
Yeah.
Well, so we had that in our last one, and then we just went to a booth. I love the booth. I didn't see the workspace it wasn't as functional. That one, I mean, there's one drawer that has some file folder capacity there. But it wasn't enough to make it wasn't a deal breaker for me. That deal breaker was on our last one was the booth.
Yeah, the booth is just, it's the way to go. You can work on the booth.
Yeah.
You can work a lot more comfortable than on this workstation that really, it's not functional. It has the drawers for files. It has a drawer for printer. But you only have one seating arrangement option, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you can't sit facing the printer. You can't facing the file cabinet. You have to sit facing
the desk. I don't like it because it's on the slide. So when I
two
sit there
legs
for a
are
long
on the
time,
slide,
two
yeah.
legs are on this tile and two legs are on the carpet.
That was our biggest complaint.
Yeah.
When we had the table and chairs that when we did sit there, it felt like one of us were always rocking back and forth kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit like red wine. You like what you like.
Yeah, that's true.
Leave us some comments. Let us know what you people out there think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's more people that like the booth than the
Yeah, I'd love
station.
To take a poll.
So Tiffin, pay attention.
Yeah. Well, it's not even just Tiffin. It's
everybody.
As a matter of fact, the next place we went to was the New Mars, right? The way they were right close.
No, we went to Integra next.
Oh, Integra. That's right. But we couldn't.
The one thing on the TIFF, and I really don't understand why they don't change the design, is doing away with the carpet on the slides.
Yes.
You know, where Newmar has done that, they've done it tile from wall to wall. Doesn't matter whether it's a slide or whatever. And Tiffin seems to resist it. You know, we have some other friends that are talking about ordering one. They have a little dog that likes to maybe urinate more than it should. And they've got a 2019 and the carpet's ruined, you know?
Yeah, and it's only a tiny bit of carpet. So it would probably be a pain to even just... Ours is, what, not even a year and a half old. And it's already stained in front of the in the refrigerator and stuff. And when we walk into your new one with the all tile floor, even the visual, it looks so much bigger because it's a visual of consistent open flooring.
Right.
You know, continuation.
And yes. It's nice lines. Yeah.
The carpet sort of makes sort of a dividing line that makes it seem a little bit smaller visually.
And it's ironic because it's only, I don't know, a couple square feet of carpet.
Yeah.
But everything that's dirty seems to land on the carpet. Not on all this tile flooring that we have. It lands on the damn carpet.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
So that's why we haven't taken the plastic off of half of our RV.
Yes, we're like those old people that keep the plastic on their furniture for their whole
life. If I could find that plastic, I'd put it on the other side. Too late now.
We can put some saran wrap down.
So let's talk about...
The Integra's next.
Yeah. No, not Integra's. Let's go back to... Yeah, it was Integra's. I'm sorry.
Integra's are the ones that we did.
I was really, really looking forward to looking at the new Cornerstone. That's the one that I've been keeping an eye on.
At the top of the line, Integra.
I have to say I was a little disappointed. I hate to say that. But the layout, I don't even know. It just did not wow me the way I thought it was going to wow me.
I got to say I was hoping for much more too, because the outside of the Integras are so sexy.
Oh yeah.
They are, I mean, they just, the front of them and the back of them, the outside, but I've never been in one before. And yeah, I was a little underwhelmed too.
Yeah. The cabinetry, the headboard on the bed.
Oh, that was the headboard.
What was,
yeah. It was too much. It was too much. It was like leather with, what do they call those?
Tufted
leather.
Headboard.
But it looked like grandma's bed.
Boudoir. It was very...
It was out of place. It was very out of place.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
If there was a mirror on the ceiling, it would have been better.
No. Then you see the headboard twice. No.
But that's the kind of feel I had.
No. It was like, it was just weird. Very, very, very disappointing. Just did not...
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
I think what... To validate what Tracy said is, you see this incredible paint, incredible detail, incredible design on the outside of this coach. And you come in and I don't want to say it's a bad coach or anything like that, because I don't know anything about it. But its appearance, its appointment to detail just doesn't, the inside doesn't match the outside.
Can I just say, when we entered the Integra, I noticed the very first thing, and I'm sure I'm not going to get my words right here. So when you entered the Integra, there was some cheesiness on the step area that is so dumb. That was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah, I did notice.
It just looked cheap, or it didn't look like what it should cost, you know, or just didn't look.
It seemed very tight right there, too. I mean, coming in past that passenger seat to the console seemed very, very tight.
And then my next eyes went to the cabinetry, which was probably fine, but then they used the worst possible cheapest like poles on the cabinets, and then it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this.
And we're talking about, what's the price tag on that high end Integra?
Well, the price tag was seven something on sale for
$5.99.
Yeah, it was right. $600,000. Just below six.
They're $500,000. I think we can spring for the $299 pool on the cabinets instead of the 50-cent pool on the cabinets. Just saying.
It's weird. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there right now saying that was the most incredible RV that I ever saw. It is what it is. It just didn't float our boat.
I have to say, like, just like we were talking about the outside of the Integras, when we came in with our AIM group, the Integra group came in before us, and they just look so cool. Like, all of them, they've got the coolest outside lights, like, and they're all lined up. There's a whole lines of two whole lines of 40-foot Integras.
It's a beautiful, coach. It's a beautiful coach. It's very well made, and I've seen a ton of videos of Integras, especially the Cornerstone, because like I said, I've been keeping an eye on them, and I have not seen that layout that we saw today. And it could just be that that's their new model, and boy, I'll that's a hard pass for me. I'd rather buy an older one with, you know, what I want.
Yeah.
Just very disappointed.
Yeah. All right, so we're not buying a new Integra, which we didn't need one. So, all right, let's go to the Newmar, because Chris and Tracy just bought their brand new Newmar. Tell us why you chose the Newmar. Tell us what your favorite features are. Give us some inside scoop.
Well, for me, I know being a little more intrigued mechanically and all the componentry, a big piece for me is the Newmar, or our Newmar, is a side radiator versus a rear radiator. Not that I'm going to get in there and work on the engine a whole lot, but I can at least get to it. If I needed to put a belt on or a sensor or just general maintenance, I could do it if I wanted to. And with the rear radiator on the Tiffin was not a good, it wasn't a good fit for us. There's a, you know, I think for us, the fit and finish on the Newmar was a little better, because we stopped at North Trail RV in Fort Myers, and we had a Tiffin Phaeton, and we put them side by side. And the biggest reason we stopped there is they are the only dealer that has both brands. And we put them side by side, and, you know, there's some storage hiccups that we've had to work through and are working through. I think we have more storage. It's just different storage, and that's been an adjustment for us, and I'm sure we're going to continue to adjust, and I'm going to continue to ask her, hey, where the hell did you put this, or where'd you put that? And she's going to continue to yell back at me right where you left it. So
well, and let me just say that when we were stopped there to compare them, we were comparing the Allegro bus with the Dutch Star. That's the kind of the
same level.
The same level.
Okay.
I think is my understanding of it. Maybe there'll be some people out there that disagree with me. But that's the kind of the same level. So I always thought our next step would be the Allegro bus. And seeing them next to each other, the Dutch Star, Newmar Dutch Star, just fit our needs better. I can't say enough good things about our Tiffin. We didn't have any issues with that. Of course, we didn't have it long enough. We only had it, what, a year and a half? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you're in your third coach in 3 years.
Yeah, we're in our third coach in 3 years. So that tells you anything. But I think we're here for a while.
Okay.
Famous last words.
What else about the Newmar did you like? I think there was some design.
I love the what feels like the quality of, especially my cabinetry, just the door, the way the doors, when you pull open the doors or in the cabinets or anything, they just feel more solid.
Right.
There are some things in the Dutch Star that I kind of miss out of my Phaeton. I miss that we don't, when I'm laying in bed, the Allegro or the Tiffins all have like the little, spider wire. The little
control panel,
the control panel right next to you on both sides of the bed. I could turn on the generator. I could lock the front door. I could turn off all the lights. I could control everything right there from your bed. We get in our bed now and it's like, oh God, did we lock the door? Did we do this? Did we do that? You know, there's no controls there other than this, the lights in the bedroom pretty much.
Yeah. See, that would almost be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Are you sure you can't do it through your phone? It doesn't have an app or anything?
I'm not sure about any of that, George.
Because we talked to one guy today who said, yeah, they're not there because you can do it through your phone.
That was American Coach, I think.
Yeah, American, yeah.
Yeah.
Ours are still where the Tiffin was almost Bluetooth compatible. This is just a switch and wire. It's hardwired in. But there are still, you know, there's some things that I like on the Tiffin better. I mean, I Tracy and I, she does the inside, I do the outside. I like the big monster slide when I'm inside, but when I got to come outside, it's over the wet bay. So I have to crawl underneath the slide to get to the wet bay. So that's, you know, that's something I didn't think about when we're looking at buying it. Not that that's a deal breaker for us, because we globally like the coach better, but it just, it's one of those whole things. It's, you know,
now you got to readjust.
Yeah.
Do all of that before you do the pop outs.
Right.
That's
right.
What we do with ours.
Yeah.
As much as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that I can put my slides out without having the key on. And then we would have to listen to the key, you know, everything beep, beep, beep.
Yes,
you know? Before you could put the slides out and everything. So I do like that. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
All right. The $1 million question. This is another one that's always on the internet. Do you guys drop your jacks first and pop out, or pop out and then drop your jacks?
So Newmar suggests that you put the slides out first and then the jacks.
And then level.
And yeah. Level.
The exact opposite of what Tiffin tells you to do.
Yeah, that's so funny because I've actually Googled that, and there's
no right
million,
answer.
There's a million different opinions on why you should do the pop-outs first and then level. And then there's a million on why you should level first and then do the pop-outs. So, just
and
curious.
They both make sense.
Absolutely. They both make sense. So just do whatever your manufacturer says, people.
Yeah. Yep. So this was the first time I'd ever been in any Winnebagos. I was always curious to know kind of, you know, what they look like on the inside. Because people used to say like, oh, we have a Winnebago. That was like the generic term for a camper. You know what I mean? Like when I was growing up anyways, it'd be like, oh, you've got a Winnebago. And I'd be like, it's like a camper, kind of like we call clean everything.
Kind of like, do you have a Rolex on or do you have a Timex on? Do you
it's
have
a watch?
I know. right.
Crescent Ranch.
But Kleenex. Yeah, so the Winnebagos, that it seemed a little bit more entry level than some of the Newmars and Tiffins that we looked at.
I got to tell you, I don't remember the Winnebagos that we made.
Yeah, it was kind of fast.
They were nice. They were nice.
I think they're a great value for what they are. They're not a $500,000 coach.
Right.
They're under $200,000, and they're I think they're a good value.
Lisa said, it's a great entry level.
Class A.
That and Fleetwood. Yeah. And I'll say this much: I was very impressed with Fleetwood. I think they've realized that the market is growing tremendously, and they're stepping up their game, because I was very impressed with all of what I saw.
So of all of this, quote, surprises, I guess, for today, I would say my biggest brand that surprised me the most was the Fleetwoods. I mean, they had some new floor plans that we've never seen before. Like, they had a Class A with an island in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm shocked about that. I still can't wrap my head around how that comes, and I need to see that the slides are pulled in.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it looked really, really cool. And
they actually had a lot of nice new features. They like I said, they stepped up their game.
Yes.
They want to be competitors, and because Fleetwood's always been the entry-level RV.
Oh, well, they've also got some great floor plans, as far as I'm concerned, for people that may have a family still that they're RVing with.
Absolutely.
They have bunkhouse options. They have, you know, I still miss the queen size bed that comes over the driver's compartment that drops down, because it was also good for storage, but you know, it was great to throw, you know, a couple kids up there, you know, when we have them or whatever. Almost easier than the pull-out couch.
When we had ours,
it doesn't take up any space in the coach.
When we had ours, we physically slept 10 people in that thing one time, and it was fine. I mean, it was all
bounder.
Our kids. Yeah, and our kids loved the Fleetwood Bounder, but it was totally entry level.
Yeah,
our coaches only sleep 2.
Yes, that's where we're up to now.
Maybe a small grandchild every now and then, but only 2.
And a labradoodle. Yep.
That's funny, because when we bought this one, we were worried about, like, I was like, where are we going to sleep all the kids? And George is like, it doesn't matter. We're not sleeping the kids.
That's what they make Hampton Inns for.
Exactly. Thank you. All right. Which one did we go to next?
Okay, so then, oh, we did go to the American. That was a one coach that I saw. It was American is what the brand is, yeah. Right? That I did see. Remember that gray one with the really nice interior? Yeah, that was really, really nice. And I really liked that one. The price point was what, $600,000 on that?
It's like $574,000.
Yeah, between and six.
So the interior had very, very modern, sleek cabinetry. And
the interior was beautiful. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That one probably caught my eye more than anything we saw all day today.
Yes. Yeah.
And that one, like, pleased my eye more than anything.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Especially for the price point.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're putting it up against a Prevo or whatever. You know,
that's apples and oranges.
Right, exactly. But for that level coach, that was my favorite. The biggest thing that I did notice, like, well, I didn't notice it right away, but you saw it the second, which always if you're shopping for a coach, go with somebody else at Arby's too and like have them be like, oh yeah, by the way, there's no hanging closet space hardly. There's a very small amount of hanging closet space in that one. Lots of drawers, which I loved, and I love drawers, but we hang a lot of things.
I know, but again, it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. If they start putting in a lot of closets and a lot of drawers and a lot of stuff, then people go, oh my God, this thing feels so tight because there's no room. There's everything's used up with closets and
you
got to
give up something.
Yeah. Right. So it's
whatever's important to you.
Everything's doable. You just got to make it work. Like Fleetwood with the bunk beds, they made it so that the top bunk bed folds and you can convert that into a giant closet.
Yeah, we used to use the bunk thing for storage. Yeah, a lot of storage in our old coach when we had the bunk house. Yep. So then we went inside into the fancy Prevo and Realm for travel. Coaches
still underwhelmed with space
for $2 million. Okay, $2 million.
But which one was $2 million? Because the Prevos,
all of them,
none
of brand new ones are $2 million.
All of them are are between 1.8 and 2.5.
Yeah,
even the Prevos that we sold.
Yeah,
all of them. All the brand new ones are over two.
Yeah,
just below two.
So right. Some of them they wouldn't let you go inside. You could only like walk
by
up
appointment
on
only.
Look yes. in the front window.
Yeah, you could look in the front window. They had like little steps to look up, which, I mean, you can see in there, and they're beautiful. The thing that's weird, like, a lot of the Prevos don't even have slides on one side. You know, they're really. So we talked to the salesperson there before, and he's like, "I was like, who is your primary customer for that?" Turns out it's like rock stars. NASCAR drivers, you know, people that need to stay on site and want to live in luxury, I guess.
Well, remember, Prevost is a chassis builder, and then you have coach builders. Those were both, we saw two marathons, a Featherlight, a Four Travel, even though they're all on Prevost chassis. They're different coach builders.
Four Travels aren't on Prevost.
You are correct. Four Travels on a Spartan chassis. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, again, I'm always about the inside interior, what it looks like. You guys are all
I'm still
about
under,
the actual
you know, they may have like lots of glass cabinets and stuff, but to me, that's
tchotchke.
It's not what I'm looking for. I need it to be livable and
right.
And it's beautiful. They're gorgeous, and I'm sure driving it down the road,
well, those
it has got to be,
yeah.
Those things don't move, and I'm sure driving that thing is going to be, and I think driving our Dutch Star and our Phaeton was wonderful, and I can't even imagine how wonderful those things are to drive.
I bet you Prevost is like driving on a cloud,
mm-hmm.
But I can't see a $2 million cloud.
And I can't see $2 million of my clothes being in there.
Yeah. You know, and they sell like hotcakes, so there's a market for them. Obviously, it's just that's a big.
When you know what that $2 million that $2 million though, when you start looking underneath of it, and I'm not, and that's Chris's department. That even impresses me though.
No.
When you start looking at the
basement,
when
the
you start looking at
and I look
at a Prevost like a Rolls Royce. That thing is made by hand meticulously, like Chris said. Every wire is laid out precisely where it's supposed to be. Everything underneath is stainless steel, and it looks perfect. And you open it up, and you're like, "Oh my God, this is beautiful!" Even though this is where the you know black water tank is, and this is where this is, it is just made with such great detail. But it should be for $2 million.
Yeah, it's craftsmanship. Well, you look at Newell, and Newell was one of my customers once upon a time, and my boss sent me to call on Newell, and we sold a product that they were going to basically buy a sheet of our material for every one of their coaches. And I told him, I called him on the phone and said, they're going to buy a sheet. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. What is the volume? 26.
They sell 26
a year.
They
sell 26 coaches a year.
They build 26 a year, but most people, when they build one, they're already putting their order in for the next one because it takes 2 years to build.
Wow.
So they, if you want to go buy a two-year-old one with minimal miles, they literally, they've got almost their customer list. They pick one up, they order their next one. Wow. And they trade them right back in, and they, you know, and it's the part that you look across their lot and they're all black. It's like this sea of black limousine coaches sitting there. I'm like, okay.
And they're just waiting to.
They're used. Those were all their used ones when I was up there. That's all they had were used ones. They had no new ones.
Wow.
They don't build any of them on speculation. They're all custom builds.
Wow.
Well, I guess that's lottery money.
We still haven't won that $600,000 in Georgia.
$600 million.
$600 million. I'm working on it.
I tell Chris every week he's just not trying hard enough.
So the Realm, that was the last big one that we really looked at.
For travel.
Realm is the model.
Yeah,
and that was very nice. I liked it.
Yeah, that was on sale for like $980.
Again, I think Chris and I talked about this yesterday. After the 500,000 mark, that's where they lose me, because there's such a big jump. You got all these other RVs that start at 100,000 to 500,000. You got every range in between. Then all of a sudden it's weird because you hit that 500,000 mark and it jumps to 900.
Right.
There's very few, or I didn't see too many 600, 700, 800. It just went 5 to 9 or 5 to 1 million. I think we saw a couple 600,000, but it just the jump is so big, and I don't see
what
I'm getting.
Double the amount of stuff.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't see what I'm getting for double the money. that jump.
Again, I think there's just so much you can do with one.
Yeah.
And then the rest is just.
I totally agree with you. But where is the difference?
I don't know.
They should, you know, in my opinion, they should be able to say, "Hey, this is
the craftsmanship,
Italian
and the
marble on the
things,
counters."
Yeah.
And I know a lot of it as the driver, as you know, I think a lot of the engine, the drivetrain, the ride, all of that. I know a lot of that technology and that money goes into that super comfortable ride, but it's still such a big jump.
I know. I think we're gonna have to drive one of those just so we can, like, you know.
George, I'll let you drive mine.
So the Essex, Newmar Essex, stickers at $880,000, and it has the exact same driveline as my Dutch Star. Exact.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. So okay, so where's the difference?
Well, in the Essex there is some we'll say some embellishment in the detail, the cabinets, more glass, more crystal, more, you know. But is there $300,000 more? I'm with you, George. I don't see it. You got to sell me a little bit on where the 300 grand juice is. I'm with you. I'd rather have a Class B as a toad, and that becomes my guest house or the pool house. Yeah. Drag that behind us.
Yeah, I would like to just
For another 300 grand, you know.
Maybe tomorrow our mission should be to talk to a salesperson and see if they can enlighten us on why your coach is $800,000 and this one is $500,000 and they both look kind of alike.
Pretty close.
Sell me.
Yeah.
Sell me on why yours is
$800,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, after we looked at all these coaches, which we'll definitely talk to some more salespeople tomorrow and report on some more things, we went into the exhibitors hall. And that was good information. There was a lot of different resorts that sell lots there. A lot of things that were, you know, you could buy stuff for your RV. And There was a couple of things that I thought were really cool. And one of the things was the Gardens RV community that is in Crossville, Tennessee. I would love to check it out sometime, but it is a whole community of basically houses that have giant RV garages. So it's like, and the whole neighborhood is that. It's not even like, you know, like a parking pad and a coach.
I think it's becoming more and more popular all the time. Yeah. Even if you don't have an RV, people want those big garages. I mean, selling real estate, Lisa, you and I both know.
Yeah.
That people, they want garage space. The guy wants garages, he don't care what the house looks like, and she just wants a nice house.
But if you're an RV owner, that, I mean, the layout and the floor plans are beautiful, and the pictures that we saw, the ones that were already built.
Yeah, it's got a regular garage, an RV garage, and then the workshop that they can make into like a man cave or whatever. And so the garage is 20 by 70. That's so long.
It's huge.
Twice the length of your truck.
Need to have room to put your slides out, even in your garage. You want to put, you know, have it opened up, be able to work around it, that kind of thing.
And then it's got like a big master bedroom with a big giant closet. And I love this. The closet from the master bedroom opens out into the garage. So you can load your coach
I love that.
Yes. And then there's also a big laundry that opens up in there. And then there's only just like one other bedroom. So like it's our gardensrvvillage.com if you want to check that out. We've never been there, but next time we go to Tennessee, I want to drive by there.
Yeah, definitely want to do it.
It goes back to Tracy's point. How many does it sleep? One grandkid occasionally, and that's it. They're right. Not big houses.
No, they're about 1,500 square feet houses, and I think they start around 300 and go up to like 600,000 or something.
Yeah, that's nice. I like it. I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah.
And they were close to Nashville. And
it was like an hour. It was between Nashville and Knoxville, an hour from Nashville. So he said kind of in the middle of nowhere, but.
They have great golfing there.
Oh, tons of golf. Yes.
Tons of golf and lots of retirement.
Speaking of tons of golf and new RV resort that's being built on Hilton Head, they did have a booth here, so we got some information from them. They're not going to be for sale, so I think that's a great opportunity for us to get some RV lots, because people come to Hilton Head in their motor coach, and then they can buy a place at Hilton Head Motor Coach Resort, but you can only rent at the new resort that's being built. We'll do a podcast with them so we can learn more about that resort in Hilton Head. Anything to promote the Hilton Head area.
But I got to admit, that resort does look a lot better than I thought. I didn't think it was going to be that many
spots.
That many spots available.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize they were going to have like a pool and
lazy river and swim up bar and tiki bar.
Yeah, it looks like they're doing it upright.
Yeah. We could have a swim up bar at Hilton Head Motor Coach Resort.
We can't get a. Never mind. Let's not get into that. Yeah. Let's move on. So where are we going next?
That's about it for today. We need to wrap this up because we got to report on day two and day three.
And we got happy hour right now.
Yeah, we
got
to get to our
AIM
happy hour. We'll tell you more about the all inclusive motor coach group when we get a chance.
I have one more thing to say. I do want to say, I want you guys to talk about at some point about all the fifth wheels.
Oh, gosh.
We didn't even talk about those today.
I want to talk about
the amazing fifth wheels. I mean,
that'll be our next podcast. We'll do another one this week.
So we'll talk tomorrow again about day two. And we definitely need to go over the fifth wheels, the camper trailers, everything from like $10,000 up to $130,000 for a toy hauler that has a giant kitchen and dining room and
two-story.
Yeah, the two-story one. And the
in the container house. Or the container run.
Yeah, we've got a YouTube video we interviewed for the container home. So lots more to talk about on day two at the Tampa RV. Thank you so much, Chris and Tracy,
for being with us.
We'll hopefully talk to you again tomorrow. And over and out.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us today on Our View Podcast. If you would like to hear more, don't forget to hit that subscribe and follow button and share this with your family and friends. You can send a direct message. Just visit www.rviewpodcast.com or follow us on Instagram at rviewpodcast. That's the letter R, View Podcast.